Let's stand up this morning, and we're going to open up to Proverbs 3, and we'll just read. We'll put up on the screen here, too, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And we'll just, as we're getting started, here's our text this morning, and we'll just read it out loud. Read with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. That was just a short up and down there. But this is no doubt one of the greatest passages in your Bible. And I want to challenge you. I know some of you have this memorized. Some of you are like, yeah, I have that committed to memory. And you can just pull it up anytime you want. You can lay on your couch, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. You know, but some of you don't yet have that memorized. And I want to challenge you. Who's up for a challenge? I want to challenge you. If you don't have it memorized, get a little index card. Write Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 on it. On the other side, write the verse. You know, before I was a pastor, I was an electrician, and I had one of those teacher's key rings, and I would just write on an index card, punch it in the corner with a hole punch, and I just added index cards. I would work during the day, my job, I'd be plugging and switching, I'd have that on the ground, turn to the next verse, I'd be on the ladder, turn to the next verse, I'd be in my car, turn to the next verse. So, and here's the challenge. I'm really wanting to challenge those of you who have never memorized a verse before. I want to challenge you. Get an index card. You make this your first verse. Okay? Are you going to take the challenge? No, I just come to church and what they ask me to do, I don't really do. Are you going to take the challenge? Okay, I challenge you. Especially if you've never memorized a verse. I challenge you. It'll change your life. And so let's look at this verse, and hopefully it'll even bring more flavor to it as you then memorize it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So trust, as we define it, speaks of confidence in God, right? You're trusting God. You're putting your confidence in God. You're relying on God. Hey, God, I'm going through this, and I'm going to rely on you. I'm going to lean on you. I'm hoping. My hope is that you're going to come through for me as I trust you this way. Trust in the Lord. And then we read with all your heart. So this is just one of the many all of your heart, all of our heart verses in the Bible. Are you familiar? There's a whole bunch of the all your heart verses. And we learn that God wants... It's over and over. God wants all of our heart. And probably one of the most familiar to all of us is Deuteronomy 6:5, because Jesus said this is the, in the New Testament, he said this is the greatest of all the verses in the Bible. This is the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God. Here it is again. With all your heart. And all your soul and all your strength. And so make no mistake about it that God wants you to love Him in such a way that He's the great love, the chief love. You could say the first love, the unequaled love, the unparalleled love, the unrivaled love. Are you getting the idea? The supreme love, the superlative love above all other loves. He wants all of your heart. He wants you to love Him with all your heart. And a lot of times to understand what something means, when you're talking about an all your heart, the opposite, sometimes the antonym, also helps us get a better grasp on what the concept is. So the antonym of all your heart in the Old Testament would be a divided heart. God doesn't want you to love Him with a heart that, like, yeah, I love you, God, but really I'm living for these other loves before you. That's a divided heart. Or half-hearted could be an antonym to this concept that we're looking at today. All your heart, the opposite would be just, you know, you come here to Calvary, but, you know, in all reality, it's not an all of my heart. It's kind of, to be really honest, it's kind of more like a half, I'm kind of more half-hearted in the way that I'm following God. Well, God passage after passage, God wants all of our heart. Look at another all of your heart verse, Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you? So that's something we're all asking. You know, what is it that God really wants of me? And here Moses tells Israel, this is what God requires of you, but to fear the Lord your God. What does that mean, to fear the Lord your God? That means you're always conscious of him. You don't ever want to go against him. You don't want to do anything that displeases him, right? Probably every one of us are tempted in our day to do something or go a direction that's not pleasing to God. But if we fear God, we go, you know what? I'm actually not going to do that because I can sense it's not honest. It's not right. And I fear God. And I just want to do what's right. So you fear the Lord your God and you walk in all his ways. And here it is again, repeated, to love him. And here's another all your heart verse, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And so, did you know that you're redeemed, you're saved, not just to exist until you go to heaven, right? It's not just all about, well, one day I'll go to heaven. You're saved, you're redeemed to start serving, right? Your life is not random. You're not a random accident. The world tells you that. You're actually created. And God created you uniquely, unlike any other person. There's things in you unlike any other person. And then there's the work of the Holy Spirit, where you receive a gift, at least one. And we should be asking the rest of our life, every day of our life, you should be asking for gifts of the Holy Spirit. And even the gifts you have, say, God, give them to me in a greater way, right? And all of that is for the purpose that you can serve. Not half-heartedly, begrudgingly, okay, I'll do it. No, with all your heart, you serve. God redeemed you to serve. You know, we see that the earliest in Scripture, the earliest story of redemption, where people were saved by the blood of the Lamb, and they came out of Egypt. Do you remember what God said to Pharaoh over and over again? He said, let my people go that they might serve me. Right? You're created to serve. Where are you serving? Where are you serving? We're all to serve. Okay, again, I want to challenge you. Are you up for a challenge? I want to challenge you. And I want to, this is a special challenge to those of you that go here, and yet you've never served anywhere at Calvary Vista. I want to challenge you. Go to the connect table in the courtyard when the service ends and say, hey, I want to offer my life. How can I serve? Okay, I'm challenging you. Are you going to do it? Oh, that was like pretty weak. Here's the deal. I'm challenging you. Those of you that have never served here, you come here, but you don't serve. I challenge you. You know what? You'll be so blessed. The greatest blessing is not, what did Jesus say? Not receiving, but giving. Challenge you. Pretty weak still, though. I can see people going, oh, I think I'll just, if I don't look up, like. So I'm going to ask you again, are you going to take the challenge? Now, I'm only talking to those of you that don't serve right now. Are you going to take the challenge? If I stay real still and not move. You know, I have an elder in our church. Well, he was an elder in our church, and I asked him to be an elder, and he said no. And I asked him a second time. He's a dairy farmer. He said no. I asked him a third time. He says, darn it. He goes, I told the Lord, if Rob asks me three times, I'll say yes. Sometimes it takes. Are you going to take the challenge? I don't know. You'll have to think about it. Am I going to take that challenge? I challenge you. You're saved to serve. Man, what am I missing? You're missing serving. Well, there's all of these all of your heart verses. Look at Joel. We'll pull it up on the screen behind me. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all of your heart, right? That's the way God wants us to turn to him. Can't be with a divided heart, like, yeah, I turn to you, God, but I still going to live for this. It has to be with all of your heart. And I want you to ask the question, have you turned to God in that way where you turn to him with all of your heart? You know, that's when you become saved, when you turn to God with all of your heart. There's the Ezekiel passage that says, God says, I think it's Ezekiel 18, God says, you know, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn and live. Why will you die in your sin? Turn to me and live. But the only type of turning that causes you to come alive is you have to turn with all of your heart. And you know what? Ezekiel goes on to say, when you turn to God with all of your heart like that, that God takes out that stubborn. Do you know the passage? He takes out the stubborn, stony, hard, rock-hard heart. He takes it out. And I love the New Living Translation. It says he gives us a tender, responsive heart. And he puts a spirit in us that wants to do God's work, right? It's not a I have to. When you turn to God with all your heart, when he saves you, he takes out that heart. Has that happened for you? You'll know it if it's happened to you. The old hard heart's been taken out, that stubborn heart, and now you have this tender, responsive heart to God. And it's a turning to him like we're reading about. And then there's another passage. There's lots of them. There's turning to the Lord with all your heart. There's returning to the Lord with all your heart. This Deuteronomy 4:29 speaks of returning to the Lord. And it says, but from there... if you read that chapter, it's when you've fallen away from God. It's when you backslide. You go back to the old life, the old behavior, and you realize, you know what I'm acting? Actually, I'm doing the same things I did before I got saved. Have you ever backslid? I don't know if I want to give that away or not, you know. You know, growing up in the Lord, I just continually backslid. Throughout my life, to continually fall back. I call it going back to the old black tar. You know, there's been many times I have to go back and get like sticky in the black tar and go, no, I don't want the black tar. I want the marvelous light. I don't know why I had to go back to it and just see how dark and sticky and horrible it was. I've got to return to the Lord. Have you ever been there? I've been there many times. Maybe you're someone that you're there, like in our text, but if you'll seek the Lord your God, you'll find him if you seek him with, right? It's got to be in all of your heart. That's how you get right with God. You might not be right with God today, and you're here, and God's drawn you here. And the message is very clear, right? It's not just this passage. Over and over, if you'll seek God with all your heart, God says you'll find me. Remember that story of the prodigal son? Oh, I love that because I've lived it. Have you lived it? Remember the prodigal son? He was wasting his life in prodigal living, made a total mess out of things. Maybe you've made a mess out of things. And he finally, it says he came to his senses and he said, you know what? I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against my father. I'm going to turn back to him and go to my father. And when he was still a great ways off, he turned back to his father. And the father saw him from a great distance. And what did the father do? As soon as the son came to his senses and turned that way. Yeah, it's like the greatest verse, right? God ran to him. God ran. The father ran and robed him and ringed him and put the sandals on his feet and started to throw a party and say, this my son was once dead and now he's alive. He was once lost, but now he's found, right? But the only way you can get back to God is you have to seek him with all your heart. And praise, we see in Psalm 91, we listen to David, who we all love, and David said, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart, right? David's famous for all that is within me, I'm going to bless the Lord. That we all learn how to praise from David. It's got to be all of your heart. God's a God who wants us to praise him with our whole heart. There's was a Catholic man in our church for years. He came, and I would talk to him, and he just had a hard heart. And the day came, he got saved, and he was sharing with me. He said, "You know what, Pastor Rob?" He goes, "My father-in-law always said, can't you just give God 1 hour a week? Just give him 1 hour a week at Mass." And he said, he's a young 20-year-old guy. He said, "You know what? I always knew when my father-in-law said that, I always knew God didn't want 1 hour a week. I knew it had to be all of my heart or I couldn't get right with him." And he was absolutely right. It's got to be all of your heart. Here's another all of your heart verse. It's you probably know this. This is a famous verse. 2 Chronicles 16:9. "The eyes of the Lord run back and forth, to and fro, throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is fully committed to him." Right? What's God looking for? Man, his eyes are every generation, every city, every church, right? God is looking for someone whose heart is totally, fully his. And if you'll give your heart to him in that way, God will show himself strong. So our verse is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Again, confident in God, relying on God, hoping, leaning in God, believing in God. And so I just ask you the question this morning as we're learning this together. What are you going through this morning? What are you going through? What are you facing? Because the word to you this morning is trust. That's the word, trust God. What is it that you're facing? What did you carry in here today? What is it you're overwhelmed by? The answer is trust. Again, sometimes that opposite, the antonym, helps us really know what the Bible's talking about. The antonym of trust would be, this Hebrew word trust would be, to worry. When we're not doing what we're reading, trusting in the Lord with all your heart, we worry. And what good does worrying do? You know, the Proverbs. The Proverbs says that worrying only causes harm. Right? Medical science tells us, right, worrying's not good for you. What good does that do? You wake up in the morning and you start to, oh my God, oh. You get in the shower, you're like, what are we going to do? You know, you're in your commute to work, you're just stressing out, you're rubbing your head, you're at lunch, you can't eat, you're getting an ulcer. You come home, you can't enjoy your family, you're just stressed out. What good does that do? I guess just destroying you. But what if you're trusting God all day? What if you wake up and you go, oh, Lord, it's overwhelming, but you know what, God, I'm putting my confidence in you. And on the commute to work, God, I'm just giving it to you. Take it. I want to just pour out my heart to you. God, I need you. I need an answer. I need help. My confidence is, you know, you can pray. You can trust 30, 40, 100 times in a day. How powerful is that? When God gets all of your heart, then he can show himself strong on your behalf. And again, I just would ask that question. Have you trust the Lord with all your heart? Have you trusted the Lord to save you? Have you? Are you saved? Well, I mean, I try to do good. I always try to do good. I mean, I went to a Christian school and I've been baptized, but you know, none of that answers the question. Have you been saved? Have you trusted? Have you turned from your sin to God and trusted Christ in such a way that the stony heart's been taken out, the stubborn, hard heart has been taken out, and God's given you a tender, new, responsive heart that, you know what, I actually... I want to serve God. I want to follow God. Not twisting my arm to serve back at that. Hey, maybe there's a stubborn heart issue going on. Maybe they're, you know, for some people, they're out of church and they just need to heal for a while before they start serving. So let me give you that out, okay? I'm only giving like two of those out today, though. You know, but have you trusted God in such a way that you've been saved? Because if you have, then you can trust God with whatever you're going through this morning, right? It's an argument from the greater to the lesser, right? If you could trust God for your eternal salvation, to forgive you of all your sins, then you can trust him for the lesser, right? You can trust him with all your heart, and he'll show himself strong in your behalf. And trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Oh, that is so easy to quote. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That is so easy to quote and sometimes so very hard to live. So easy to quote. So very hard at times to live. And the problem is that we think we know, in our own understanding, we think we know what's best for us. And what we think we know is best for us is we think that, in our own understanding, we think that ease is what's best for us. That's what we really think. We think what's best for us, best for our kids, is ease. Because you know, every time we go through hard stuff, we're praying, Lord, take it away. Every time other people are going through hard things, what do we pray? We think ease is what's best in our understanding. Lord, take it away right now. Don't let another day go by, Lord. Make it easy again for them. And you know, ease isn't what is always best for us. Ease causes shallowness of soul. You know, when things are always easy, you don't go deep with God. We think we want an easy life, but it really doesn't produce much depth. Have you ever noticed that things that are the very hardest bring the most satisfaction too? God knows what's best for us. Suffering is fertile soil for the soul. So where did you cut and paste that from? Where did you steal that quote from? I didn't steal that quote. I lived that quote. That quote comes from my life. Suffering is the fertile soil for the soul. God knows what's best for us. We don't. In our own understanding, we always think we know, but most of the time, our answer is ease. Ease is not what's best for us. When I got saved in my shallow own understanding of God, I made a deal with God. I didn't know I made a deal with God, but I made a deal with God until one of our children was diagnosed with a genetic disorder about 12 years ago. And we were up, we had found out, and we were up in the San Juan Islands on a church bike trip, and we were camping, and my wife Susie and I, Susie's with me this morning, we're celebrating our 27th anniversary. We're down. Twenty-seven years, amazing to still be in love, and even more in love at 27 years. It can be that way. And we were in a tent, and Susie was asleep, and I was just wrestling. I was actually angry with God. You ever been angry with God? I mean, I was just angry. I was just angry. Here I am, I give all of my heart to you. I give all of my life to serve you, all the days of my life. And you know what? To be honest, God, it just doesn't seem like you're keeping your end of the bargain. You're not keeping your end of the contract. Here I am following you, and as a pastor, and my son has this thing going on. And you know that night, and you know when you say God spoke to you, you know, it's not like it was an audible voice. A lot of times in hindsight, God made it so clear to you in your mind, and then after a while, you're able to even say, you know, God spoke to me. But boy, God spoke to me so clear and said, Rob, that's not the deal I made with you. The deal is, you're going to love me, you're going to give your life to me, you're going to serve me all the days of your life, and I'm going to do what's best from my vantage point, which, Rob, is just a little greater than yours, I'm sorry, and I'm going to do what's best for my glory. That's the deal. It's like, oh, I didn't even realize that I had made a deal with God, that he was promising me an easy life according to the deal I made with him. That was not the deal that he made with me. And you know, have you ever been like just being beaten down by situations and circumstances, and you might have been able to survive the waves from this direction, but then all of a sudden the waves start coming from the other direction too? And you just go, I can't bear this. It's too much. Because at that same time, a year or two later, my voice started diminishing. I'm 52 years old, and during my 40s, I had about 20 to 30% vocal capacity as a senior pastor. I could go to work a couple hours a day, and I would go home in pain. I would preach one service on Sunday, and I couldn't even pray with people afterwards. I'd have to go home. If guests came over for dinner on Sunday night, I'd have to just stay in the bedroom. I couldn't even say, like, hello to you. It's just, even just small talk. It's okay, Rob, just come out. You can just do small talk. Too much pain. I'm very thankful, by the way, about 2 years of reprieve. I'm not 100%, but actually, this is the first time I've done two services. So it's, you know, it's a huge hurdle for me. But, you know, you go through stuff like that, and I'm 10 years of my life, and, you know, I look back now, and it's just like, God, you're so wise. That's what Paul says. He constantly broke out from theology to doxology. God, you're so wise. You're the only wise God. You know what? The last 10 years, because of the suffering, I've been forced to have to raise up leaders. I have 29 elders that serve with me at Calvary Corvallis. Man, we have over 250 people serve in the body there. I have a teaching team of 7 people that teach with me. Most of them just lay people in the body. You know, over the 10 years, God has really spoken to my heart. You know, the superhero pastor model, that's not a good model. That's not a healthy model. A healthy model is the whole body serving, right? That's when a church becomes strong, when every one of you will go, you know what? I'm part of this body. I need to be serving. Just one superhero pastor, that's a very weak church. And you know, over the 10 years, it's amazing what the depth you get when you suffer. Over the 10 years, the Lord's spoken to my heart that if this is the spectrum of suffering, if it's this whole spectrum of suffering, you know, really, I've just experienced this little sliver. I mean, really, right? I mean, what's going on in the world? What's going on? What other people are suffering? I mean, oh, you realize, Lord, okay, it's been hard, but it's really just a very small sliver. But somehow, through that little sliver of suffering, God has made me compassionate towards the whole realm of suffering. It's amazing how faithful God is. God is faithful to let his shepherds, his pastors, suffer that they might aid an ailing flock. I can't take credit for that one. That's Charles Spurgeon. right? God is faithful to let us suffer because then we're compassionate. Then we're able to understand, right? God is so wise to let his pastor suffer. You know, even recently, my daughter's 24, married to a wonderful man. My second daughter, 21, is dating a wonderful Christian young man in our community. My son, 17, all love the Lord. And you know, even recently, God's been speaking to my heart. You know what, Rob? The last 10 years, you've been home with your kids. Every one of their games, every day in their life. Because you know what my personality is? I would have been going, 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 going every opportunity, right? But God's so wise, just kept me home in the most crucial 10 years of my kids' lives. Now I'm just praising him. Lord, you're so wise. And so trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That acknowledge means in all your ways, truly get to know him. Truly get acquainted with him. You know, whether it's in the good times or in the bad times, acknowledge the Lord. Really get to know him. It's really in the hard times that we get to know him in the deepest way. And at the very heart of who God is, I've found some foundational truths. And I'll share them with you. You can write them down. You know, I call them foundational truths because when you're facing things that you don't understand, these are the things you have to fall back on, that they're the foundation of what your life is built on. And the first foundational truth is God is good. Psalm 73:1, God is good. And just dozens of verses. The Psalms say God only does good things. And you know, when you're facing difficult things, sometimes our circumstances are telling us, you know what, God's not good. That's the wrong conclusion. You've got to fall back on, in those times you don't understand, when the waves are coming at you from both directions, you've got to fall back on what you do know. What I do know for certain is God is good. Another foundational truth is God is love. We face things and it just seems like, you know what, God doesn't love me. Or he wouldn't let me go through this. He wouldn't let this happen. But you know what? That's the wrong conclusion. You've come to the wrong conclusion. And you need to have a foundational truth in your life that God is not only good, but God is love, and he's loved you with an everlasting love. And the third foundational truth is that God is faithful. You face things that you don't understand, you've got to fall back on God is faithful. Jeremiah wrote those words that you know. They're the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, right? Morning by morning, his mercies are new. However you've screwed up, every single morning there's mercy you can start over. God's so faithful. Every single day of your life, you can have a fresh start if you'll take it. No matter how much you've messed up, God is faithful. Great is his faithfulness. In the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's a portion of scripture, and most Bible teachers believe this is a song of the early church. And this is what it sounded like when the early church worshiped. Quoted out of 2 Timothy 2, even when we're faithless, God is faithful, right? Even when we're faithless, God is faithful because he can't deny himself, the verse goes on to say. And maybe you're someone that's lapsed in your faith. Maybe you've lost faith. You know what? Even when you're faithless, God is faithful. I've been there. This is one of the verses that pulls you back. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer what? Suffer according to the will of God? You mean sometimes it's God's will that I suffer? You know, you don't hear that on TV when you listen to the preacher asking for money. But you hear it when you read your Bible for yourself. God lets bad things happen to good people sometimes to accomplish his will, to accomplish his purpose. Is he still good? He still loves you? He's still faithful? Let me stretch you a little. You try to name a story of the Bible where the main character didn't suffer. In fact, every single one of them, God's will was for them to suffer. And what do we do when we suffer? Let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. God's faithful. I don't know what it is you're facing. I don't know what it is that's beating you today. I don't know what it is that has just leveled you, but God is faithful. And I you tell me if you believe this. I will pull it up on the screen behind me. I think I've read the Bible now 30 times, and I believe that God never lets his people suffer needlessly. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. Of everything I know of God, he never, ever lets his people suffer needlessly. He always has a plan. He always has a purpose. Sometimes we get to see that purpose. You look back 10 years, wow, I've been home. God, you're so good, right? 10 years, that's a long trial. Job never got to see God's purposes in this life, right? It's only after he died that he realized God used him trusting in God and him praising God in the hard times that God was actually being glorified in the spiritual realm, and God would use it for every generation of the history of the world. And Job never even knew it. So some things we may not ever get to see, but God never lets his people suffer needlessly. And Eddie, you can come on back up. And here's the promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So this is a promise that as you trust in God, it is all your heart, Lord, I'm putting my confidence in you, my hope in you, I'm leaning on you, he will direct your paths. And notice it's plural. Because it's not going to just be one time in your life you're going to find yourself here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's going to happen time after time after time. You're going to get there and you're going to go, you know what, I don't understand. Lord, I'm trusting you and I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you with all my heart. And yet, Lord, I know who you are. I acknowledge you're good, your love, you're faithful. You make your own foundational stones. There's many more than three. But what a promise that God will direct your step. He'll show you the next step. He always does when you're trusting him. It's that great Isaiah text. He'll show you. It says in Isaiah, he'll speak to you and say, this is the way, Rob. Walk in it. And we'll finish there. I want to help you take a next step this morning. And I'm going to ask Ed, he's going to just play instrumentally here for a couple, maybe 30 seconds or a minute. And as he does, I want to ask that if you're somebody that's suffering this morning, go ahead, Ed, you guys just play well. If you're somebody, you can sing for just a little bit and then allow some space for me to come back in. But if you're someone suffering as we start to sing, I want to ask you to stand up right where you are. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to others around you are going to come around you, and we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. I'm going to invite you to do that. You can do that right now. If you're suffering, stand up. Just stand to your feet. And you know what? We've all been there. We've all been there where we're just being leveled, clobbered, beat up. Just came crawling in here this morning. We're just been stressed out and worrying and beat up. And I'm gonna call a second time. I'm gonna ask you if that's you to stand up. Maybe you're the type of person that you go, you know, that's not me. I just don't do that. Well, you know, the scriptures say to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, there's grace for you, but you gotta humble yourself. Church needs to be a place where you can go, yeah, I'm suffering. In fact, it would be wrong if you were suffering the way you are and you just kind of stayed hidden, right? And I want to just keep calling, as Eddie sings, Trita, if you're suffering. But I also want to call that if you're somebody that's backslidden and you've gone back to the old life and you're back in the sticky tar. You're coming to church here, but you're really kind of living two lives. You're back in the world, and yet you're trying to like also have a heart for God. And this is one of those mornings that you need to come to your senses and say, you know what? I've sinned against God, and I'm going to turn back to him, and he's going to run to you this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand if that's you. Just stand up. Just humble yourself. You're coming to your senses. Yeah, I don't want the black tar. I want the marvelous light. And God will wash you and cleanse you and run to you. And I also want to, as Eddie plays, ask that if you're somebody that you've never turned to the Lord with all of your heart, that every time I've done that today, every time I've talked about that old hard heart being taken out, there's something inside of you that you know what? I've never had that happen. And I want to ask you to stand. And as you do, just open your heart to God. Let him take it out. And let him put in a tender, responsive heart. We're going to surround these people eventually, but not yet. Let's just let those who are supposed to stand during this part of the song. Eddie, go ahead. Don't miss out. Yeah, that would take humbling yourself. Yeah, what will others think? Who cares? Turn to God with all your heart. If that's you, stand up.